Open your Bibles once again to Matthew chapter 1. As some of you know, I received a call yesterday morning and I would be on this morning as Dustin was very ill. And someone had said, well, you know, you always have like a sermon in your pocket. And I was like, well, yeah, but I don't know if the hellfire and brimstone that I normally keep in my pocket is what would be appropriate this morning. So we're not going to go there this morning. We're going to go to the child worthy of worship. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We've already read this scripture earlier. And so we'll be talking about this very special child. What a great time of the year this really is. It's upon us, and as someone said earlier, it's upon us whether we're ready for it or not. Christmas is here. It's a time for families to come together, old acquaintances renewed, relationships a lot of times rekindled, the buying of gifts for each other. There's much fanfare of Christmas. It is actually the most significant holiday, and truly in all the world, even though the majority of the world do not confess to be Christians. I find that a little interesting. It is amazing that truly only recently that some pagan religions come to complain that it is a day on an institutional calendar of a government that it would say Christmas holiday, and that they would get the time off, that it would say Christmas, which is known as the celebration of the birth of Christ. To respond to those complaints, now it's been all changed up. We now give that same day off, but we no longer call it Christmas any longer. It's just the holidays. The holidays. Home for the holidays. Off for the holidays. You know, actually, because it does usually mean family and friends, to many, it has become the most depressing time of the year because they feel like they really have neither family to rejoice with, friends to rejoice with, because they are empty and they are defeated. But there are truths truly about this event which Christmas symbolizes that can liberate and be a cause of rejoicing far beyond any gift that you may receive Christmas morning. Beyond family, beyond friends, beyond tinsel, beyond trees. It is the birth of a little child whose birth was prophesied 1,000 years before he was born. It was a birth that was planned even in the mind of God to the finite detail of place and family even before the foundation of the world. Truths that are based in the names of this little child. Truths about who he was and what he would do that would affect your life forever and ever, even in eternity. Today we look to see this child called Jesus. We want to look at this child called Emmanuel, and it is truly one worthy. This child is worthy of our worship this morning. Beyond any other person that was ever born, this child is worthy of our worship. And so first, let's look at this name, Jesus, and just follow with me. If you see in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows." I.e., here is the context or the situation, as it were, of Christ's birth. Many times, I know women a lot of times will relate time, particularly if they have lots of children. They don't remember the years. They just remember, I was pregnant with so-and-so. Oh, yeah, I was That was right after I delivered her, whatever her name was. And so we have this context here this morning of the situation of Jesus' birth. This was a special birth. And Matthew records this event as historical. It was a historical event. It was not a fairy tale or even a Christmas story, but it was a historical event. It was about the birth of Jesus. It says when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, which it tells us that this was a time before they were married, and Mary and Joseph were Jews, both God-fearing, both God-honoring, but they were betrothed to each other. They obviously had a great affection for each other, as was demonstrated truly how Joseph would react later towards her possible infidelity. These two loved each other. It says, when his mother, Mary, and Joseph were betrothed, they were betrothed, and this betrothal was as legally binding as a marriage. It was binding as a marriage. It lacked only in consummation. It would require a divorce to remove oneself from this agreement. You did not go into these agreements in those days, these proposals in those days flippantly, because to get out of it would require divorce before they came together. Before they came together, in other words, they were not married. There had been no consummation. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the context that we need to understand this morning of the situation that was in Mary's life. For Mary, at this point that she would be found with child, she would have had physical things going on in her body, but she had had no physical relationship with any other man. And truly, for her to be with child would have been considered adultery with this person that she was espoused to. And it would have been punishable by death. It would have been punished by stoning. She would have known she was pregnant because of those physiological changes in her body. But even before that would have occurred, she would have been visited by this angel. By this angel. As described in Luke, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to inform her of what her destiny was to be. He spoke to her and he said, "You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Jesus. She was perplexed. How can this be? And there was probably all kinds of things going through my, how can it be? Because I have not been with the man. How can it be? I'm supposed to be married. How can it be? What am I going to say? There's all kinds of things that would have gone through her mind. But Gabriel continued, "Hold on. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Translating that a little bit more, the Father, his Father, will be God himself, the Son of God. Mary at that point may have gotten a little bit over kind of the shock and awe of hearing that she's going to bear a son. She would have been most aware of this sign that had been forecast by the prophet Isaiah that was given to her people, that there would be a deliverer to come. Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah wrote, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." What is the sign that's going to be coming, of the mark that the deliverer is coming, the mark of the deliverer is acutely coming into the world? Well, there will be a sign. "Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call him," you will call him, the mother will call his name Emmanuel. Now, young Hebrew women would have likely dreamed of truly just being found in such favor with God as they would have thought in their own mind, particularly those in the Davidic line of themselves, said, would it be me? Would I become the mother of this Davidic king, the one that would come and deliver our people Israel? Oh, to be found in favor of God, to be such a service. But this entire race had waited for this. They would have been rehearsed in their mind, but there was a few details that would have been lacking of that prophecy. And even though they may have thought, oh, could I be found in such favor? There were some details that had to be taken care of. How was this to occur? What would be said of such a woman? What would be said of such a woman? She was not even married yet. And we know what would have been said of such a woman that would show up with child before she was married. And believe me, in the Jewish culture, they had a lot of things to say about such a woman. There were some details that was missing out of this anxiousness to be so glorified, to be the mother of the deliverer. But as a righteous young woman, her response was, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." You see, the Holy Spirit of God would be the father of her child. But what was Joseph to think? What was Joseph going to think? Yes, she accepted that this would be my plight. This would be how my life would be. But what is Joseph going to think? So we flip and we see that God had already arrange the details here. We go back to Matthew and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Now, this Joseph being a righteous man, it was no accident of who he was betrothed to Mary, who would be the mother of the living God, Jesus Christ. This righteous man would have meant that he was truly a follower of the law and one who sought to obey God. And he's saying he obviously must have been a very kind man, and he truly must have loved Mary very much, else his pride, because men are prideful, his pride over her possible betrayal would have overcome him. Come on. This was a difficult time to be engaged or betrothed to one, and truly all of a sudden she's with child. It would have been difficult. What are you going to tell your friends? What are you going to tell your mom and dad? What are you going to tell them all? But he says, not wanting to disgrace her, he planned to send her away secretly. He wanted no harm to come to her. He loved her. Just send her away privately. Just a little private divorce. There would have had to be a divorce. He couldn't have just sent her off. They were betrothed. There was going to have to be a divorce. She had obviously shared her situation with him. Whether she shared the visit by Abram, we do not know that. Whether she wept about the loss of their future together with him, we do not know that. But what we do know, that he knows that Mary was pregnant and the child was not his. The child was not his. God had already chosen a man that could listen to what the angels would tell him. God is in the details of your life, the minute details of your life, minute by minute, day by day, things that are going on in your life. He is making a way of things that we consider impossible. But he is in your life. And so here was the response, verse 20. all of these things going on in Joseph's mind. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Note, it starts Joseph, son of David, identifying him to be of the Davidic line. This would truly have given Christ a legal standing in the line of David, as Joseph would have been his legal father. But in reality, the bloodline would be through Mary, who was descended from David's son, Nathan. God had put this all together. He says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Obviously, this was to encourage him not to send her away, not to divorce her. He's saying, this angel is saying, Joseph, it's okay. Go through with the marriage. And truly, the only way it would have been okay for this righteous man to have married this woman if she would not have been an adulteress. As a righteous man, he may have loved her, but he would have never have married her. But oh, as a righteous man, he listened to what the angel spoke. She has not been with the man, because the father of the child that's within her womb is from God himself. The angel was saying, don't be afraid to marry her. God, he is always working in the details, even when he may be using you out of your comfort zone. He will make a way. For the child has been conceived in her as of the Holy Spirit. This would have been an earful for anyone to have heard. My spouse bride is with the child, and the father is the Holy Spirit. Now, this was a lot for this man to have taken in his heart. But then this next announcement would have likely have struck home to him of all of the prophecy, and truly what would have been going on. He says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Matthew wrote on in verse 22, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin will be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates God with us. And Joseph awoke. This was a dream that he was living. All of this information came to him in a dream, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, this would have all taken a little thought by Joseph, but he would have known also the sign to be given from the coming Messiah, the one that would deliver the Jews. A virgin shall bear a son. She will call his name Emmanuel. He would likely have thought through the details of this prophecy. He would have listed in his mind that the king to deliver Israel would be from the Davidic line. Well, that matched up. He would have known that this mother would be a virgin. Well, that fits Mary. All of this fit what the prophets had said over 1,000 years ago about this young child named Jesus. Joseph believed the angel, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he married Mary. He took her as his wife. Actually, he would postpone taking her as his wife till after the birth. And Mary had a son, and as instructed, they called his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Now, this child's name would be Jesus. It's taken from the Hebrew name Joshua. The Hebrew literal translation of this name, the salvation of Jehovah. The Greek word translation, himself by his own power would save. You see these two words, Emmanuel and Jesus, coming together, that Jesus will come to save them from their sin. But Emmanuel, God with us. So we put these two together, that God himself will come. God himself. The first Joshua that we know of would save Israel through the help of God. But this second Joshua was God himself come to save them himself. But what would God save them from? The angel spoke the answer to that. He would save them from their sin. The prophecy had said that there would be a Savior that would come and save Israel. This angel clarifies that he would come to save his people. And it would not simply be a liberation of Israel from the tyranny of Rome and other governments. The angel clarifies it was to save his people from their sins. Every year, we know that on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter the temple to make a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Well, actually, the sins of the people. Those that would come and they would actually bring sacrifices, and he would go into the Holy of Holies and he would actually take two lambs with him, and one lamb would be sacrificed, and the blood would cover the altar, and it would stay the wrath of God as it would pay the penalty for the sins of the people for that moment. And this second lamb, the priest would lay his hands on as to transfer the sins of the people onto the lamb, and then that lamb would be taken deep into the woods to be set free, never to return again. This happened over and over. All of this had to be repeated year after year. The blood of the sheep and the bulls could never make the people righteous. It would never right the account that they would have, that the wrath of God was building up against them. That account would never be satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Adam then multiplied after his own likeness, and everyone born after Adam was conceived in sin and would be born a sinner. Man had a problem. And it was a serious problem. And this little child, Jesus, had come to fix it. The guilty would not go unpunished. The wrath of God would pour out from heaven all over all unrighteousness. That was what the scripture was saying. Man would never be able to save himself. But this little child now would come, and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he would grow up and he would live this sinless life, and he would be human in all aspects, except that he would never succumb to the temptation of sin. He would become the perfect sacrifice. He would not come to just deliver people from tyranny and to set up this earthly kingdom, but he came to deliver his people from the wrath of God that awaits all that die in their sin. He came to deliver them from their sin. Jesus' sacrificial death was sufficient to remove the dark stain of sin from the account of all that would believe in him. Men could never remove their own stain. They would never have the power to forgive sin. This prophecy of Isaiah truly was God's plan of salvation. This child would save them from their sin. This virgin-born son would take upon himself the sin of mankind. This little baby was born to redeem and to purify all that would believe. He would save them from their sins. It is clear, truly, when Jesus was on the cross, he became the sacrificial lamb. He became the sacrificial lamb. The sins of all believers were laid upon him. He would take the wrath that was intended for the sinners themselves, and he would remove them from far away from them. Jesus would die for their sins. But he would not only save them from the wrath of God to come, but also he saves you from sin itself. We don't need to miss this point. His blood released his people from the dominion of sin as he purchases you from the slave block of sin. No longer slaves to sin, you become slaves to righteousness as Christ now owns you. His blood buys you. You are freed from sin, so he saves you from the grip that sin had of you, the fear of death that truly holds us hostage. This is what he came to do. He frees us. He saves us from our sin, not only from the penalty of sin, but the power of sin itself. You need to understand that victory in your daily life comes from the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. You need to truly understand that this victory is yours if you are in Christ, that you can have victory over sin in your life and to not be satisfied, to just do just a little bit better than before, but you have victory over sin because you have been saved from sin. Jesus came to save them from their sins. Jesus told his disciple, "I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will return for you." This place that he prepares is in heaven and in the very presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ himself. But let me just say that every day of your life, he is also preparing you as a believer for the day that you will be with him. That you will be with him. This little child, Jesus, came for one purpose and one purpose alone, to save his people from their sin. Do you hear what is truly being said here this morning? He saves us from our sins. He saves us from our sin. He takes it away and we bear it no more. He takes it away. He took it upon himself. He paid the price for it. God's judgment was on him. This was not a freebie just because it was his son that has befriended you. He pays the price. God no longer even remembers your sin. Far as the east is from the west, there is no condemnation for those that are in the Lord, because this little child, Jesus, has saved you from your sin. He then gives you his own righteousness. What a phenomenal reality. We have been saved from our sin. We still sin, but we are forgiven. There is no condemnation. And one day, truly, you will step out of this life. Oh, and that is a lot of times just a time of the unknown. That is a time of what will happen to me. But when you are in Christ and you have believed upon Christ and he has saved you from your sin, you will step out of this life into the very presence of God. For one reason alone, because Jesus has saved you from your sins. No matter what's going on in your life this morning, what sin you may have done, what tragedy you may have encountered, regardless of what is going on in the world today with this and that happening, if you have repented of your sins and believed on Jesus Christ, you can rejoice at the birth of Christ because you are perfect in the eyes of God. You have perfect forgiveness in him, and your sins are paid in full. This is better than any Christmas present. It's better than the watch. It's better than the car, better than even the tree. This is a gift for eternity. So let's look at this other name that we see here in the text. This little child had another name in the prophecy of Isaiah they shall call his name Emmanuel, when translated God with us, God among us. His name was not only Jesus the Savior, but it was Emmanuel, God with us. Now, this is quoted from Isaiah 7:14. This context of this prophecy you have read, there was this king, this awful king of Jerusalem, Ahaz. He was wicked. He filled the temple with idols. He even sacrificed his own children to Moloch. Isaiah was sent to tell him not to align himself with the Assyrians, not to be concerned about all that they were going to overrun him, but to trust God for his security, that God would protect and preserve the Davidic kingdom. He was saying, trust God. He will deliver. Ahaz refused. He said, I will not put God to the test. I can't trust that. That sounds really good for you, but if they come, they'll kill me. I mean, he was such a coward. So he rejected it. So God said, I've had enough. I will give you a sign. I'll give you a sign, and I will provide this deliverer. God promised not to forsake his people. He will deliver them. No one will overturn this promise, and it will actually be God that comes to be with his people. He will not forsake them. It will be Emmanuel, God with us. This is of the utmost significance, truly, that we understand that this little child was truly, totally human for all aspects. He was born of a woman. Her blood flowed through his veins. He grew up. He would have wept. He was tired. He was sad. He would need to be human because to become this sacrifice, this would have been required for our salvation. It took a blood sacrifice. And he would step out of heaven and come to earth as a man, even to take on the position of a servant. But he was human. But he was not just a man. But he was God. Emmanuel, God with us, God not somewhere in outer space, not God in the big abyss, but he was God among us. What a great Christmas present this morning. God has come to be among his people. God was among us in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah this morning. What a Savior. There would be reasons for God himself to come, and we need to really even understand those reasons. And Hebrews talks about some of those reasons. Hebrews 2 states that God himself took on flesh just as his children were flesh. Just as his children were flesh. Hebrews 5 states that Christ was made the high priest by God the Father. He offered prayers and supplications to God, and those prayers were heard because of his piety. And having been made perfect, he became to all of those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Chapter 7, he says, human priests, their intercession stopped because of death. But Jesus, on the other hand, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. He is also, he lives to make intercession for him. He was made flesh because the priests were flesh. He was God made flesh. The priests were flesh. He knows what your desires are. He knows your weaknesses. He knew every temptation, even though he was sinless. He knew all of your suffering. Emmanuel, God with us, knows all there is to know about you. He knows all the secrets of your heart. He is not some idol that knows nothing of human failure or struggles. He knows them all. He can see it from your perspective. But that's not all. No, that's not all. It's just not seeing it from your perspective. He not only knows about you and he sympathizes with you, but Hebrew 2 says he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Not only does Jesus as God know your issues because of your humanity, but as of his humanity, but as God, he also helps you through them. He has the power to redirect. He has the power to affect what is going on in your life. Hebrews 2:18, he comes to the aid of those that are tempted. He's just not a God of an imagination up there doing whatever, wringing his hands about what's going on in the world today, but he is a God that comes to the aid of those that are tempted. He was God with us in Jesus. What a thought. He comes to aid those that are tempted. Do you understand what that means for you? Jesus is there with you, whatever the situation. He knows your struggles. He knows how weak you can be, and he is there to help. Listen to him this morning. You do not need to live defeat in your sins. You do not need to live in this struggle that you have with what is going on in your life. This little child, Jesus, is now at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for you. He has power even to dispatch angels, if necessary, to assist you. You know, Jesus, Emmanuel, the night before he would go to the cross, he prayed to the Father. He says, "Oh, Father, keep them from the wicked one. Keep them from the wicked one." He knew that Satan would come for his own. He knew how we would respond. He knew that it would take the Spirit of God actually to keep us from falling. Man is just weak, and it's impossible for us to resist Satan all alone. So Jesus, he has made a way. Oh, Father, keep them from the evil one. And then he prays, "Father, I desire that they would be with me where I am." He has not left you defenseless. As he was and is God, and even now, his Spirit lives within us. He is King of glory. And he awaits for you now. He waits for you to come home. You don't have to worry when you close your eyes in this world if Christ is in you, because you're going home. This miraculous union of divine and flesh, as Jesus, he became the sacrifice. He became the Savior. As Emmanuel, he can forgive sin. As Emmanuel, he can actually regenerate our dead heart and bring life. Life that we can hear and understand his word. As Emmanuel, he can sanctify us each day of our life. As Emmanuel, he can totally transform us into his own image. As Emmanuel, he has the power to aid, to help us in whatever is going on in our life. And as Jesus, Emmanuel, he can actually beseech the Father on our behalf, and even desire for us to be where he is. He is Emmanuel, God with us, living within us. If we are his this morning, we are miraculously living in him. And his love just miraculously abides in us. And oh, it's a great miracle to understand just who Jesus is. I just want to sum this up. My friends, this morning, this child of Christmas is worthy of your worship. It's worthy of your worship. He is Jesus who has come to save us from sin, that we can have a relationship with God. We can be at peace with God because of His sacrifice. We can have victory over sin as He has freed us from its bondage. Oh, He is Emmanuel, God with us. He walked among us and experienced our life. He is now our high priest who continually intercedes. This will go on until we are in His very presence. His Spirit lives within you to give you power over sin, to bring joy where there is sadness, to bring victory where there is defeat. This child has done much for you this morning. What are you doing for Him? What are you doing for Him? Is He truly the King of Christmas? Or is He just another Christmas story? Is your life counting for His glory? Are you defeated this morning by besetting sin? We all have sin, but I'm talking about sin that can destroy you. He and He alone can free you. Seek Him this morning. Cry out to Emmanuel. He already knows and He understands. He is there to aid you. He is there to help you. Are you suffering this morning? Maybe it's persecution on the job, in school, whatever is going on. It could be even in your home. It could be relationships. Simply doubting what the future may even hold for you. Do not forget who you are in Christ. You are a child of the King of Glory, of the great High Priest of Heaven. Don't try to fix yourself or your problems. You're going to fail. Christ sees the end from the beginning. He has made a plan for your escape. He has the details of your life. The details. Unbelievers this morning, those that don't have a personal relationship with Christ, you can make this Christmas different from any other in your life. Cry out to this little child. He that believes on me shall have eternal life. That is what Jesus said. He that believes on me shall have eternal life. He that seeks Him will find Him. He will in no way turn them away. You don't have to be afraid to have the door shut in your face this morning. Seek Him while He yet can be found. What a gift He has for you. What gifts will you bring to Him? Lost person this morning, what gifts would you bring to Him? But He only wants one thing. Let me just say, it's your dead life. That's all He really wants. Your dead life. Come to Christ today. Come worship Jesus. Come worship Emmanuel.